All right. This is part two of When Does the Resistance Start? Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. And this will be titled, Why Do We Need a Resistance? I think there's a number of people that are not convinced, especially in the pastorate or the evangelical church, as to why a resistance is necessary. And this is especially important as we contemplate doing that which Jesus Christ commanded us, being willing to suffer. I'll just leave it at that. Are you willing to suffer? And I've talked about, you know, how does the resistance start and when does the resistance start? And I realize that maybe people don't understand why we need a resistance. I mean, why? If the Bible says that the world's supposed to get worse and worse and worse and the devil's going to take over and Antichrist is going to take over and you're going to get raptured out of here, why resist? And my response to that is none of that is true. First of all, the Antichrist is not going to take over. The Antichrist already has taken over. It's past tense. And if you want a theological argument for that, go back and read the book of John. And go back and read the references to the Antichrist who are already here in this hour. There's no reason to argue that the Antichrist has not come yet. There's every reason scripturally to argue that the Antichrist is already here. And if you look at biblically the description of the Antichrist as those people, not necessarily one person, that deny the Father and the Son, that deny that the Messiah has already come, past tense, in the flesh, there's your Antichrist. And if you identify who the synagogue of Satan is, I think you have a pretty good reason to be worried today and yesterday and in the last generation and for a long time now about an Antichrist ruling the world. It's often said in evangelical circles that the greatest deception of the enemy is to convince us that there is no enemy. The greatest deceit of the devil is to convince the world that there is no devil. Greatest deceit of the Antichrist is to convince the evangelical church that the Antichrist has not showed up and that the beast has not showed up. The beast is already here. So that's where I'm starting from. Now, the second, perhaps more important point is this. Why do we need to resist? If you've already come to the point to realize that evil rules in this world today, why do we need to resist? And the answer is because your children depend upon you and your grandchildren depend upon you, and you'll be held accountable at the judgment day for what you do in this life, in this generation. It's Satan's deception that you're supposed to be the gray man. It's Satan's deception that you're supposed to stand by and let the Antichrist take over, which has already taken over. It's Satan's deception that says, you know, you're doing fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. Go read the letters to the churches in the book of Revelation. And there's one of them in there. It says, listen, it's Jesus Christ. And he says, look, I'm just going to give you some advice. You need to buy some gold that's been refined in fire from me. That's my advice to you. And if you know how you get that gold, there's only one answer, and that's through trial and tribulation and going through really, really hard times. I don't mean hard times because you messed up in life. I mean the stuff that the apostles went through, the stuff that Jesus Christ went through, the stuff that the church in the book of Acts went through. You want to buy gold? There's your gold. Are we afraid of that gold? We live in a society that's normalizing transsexualism and homosexuality, and that's demonizing Christians and whites. And if you think your evangelical programs are doing bad now, wait till these people complete their takeover. I mean, already we see in the world, why can't we get a hundredfold return on our evangelical efforts? I went to an evangelical crusade last summer, a Pentecostal crusade by a well-known Pentecostal evangelical evangelist. And, you know, I'm sure lots and lots of people came up to the front and gave their lives to the Lord or renewed their commitment or whatever it was. But the bottom line is this. It doesn't seem to matter. Our country's still going to hell, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Part of the reason is because we've just stood back and said, look, it doesn't really matter. And I'm telling you, it matters. It matters for you on the judgment day. It matters for your children in their lives. It matters for your grandchildren in their lives. We have a duty and an obligation to stand up against evil. There's a genocide going on right now. I know this is not going to be popular to say. There's a genocide being exercised right now against the white race in Europe and North America, Australia, New Zealand. All these mass migrations are on purpose. by the synagogue of Satan to genocide the white race and to eliminate any Christian influence in society. That's the goal. That's the agenda. That is Satan's agenda. And his synagogue is propagating that agenda. And if you want to say, well, that's a conspiracy theory, well, that's fine. That's fine. I remind you of Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, John 8:44. And again, if you want to be a member in good standing of the Judeo-Christian church, I guess I've lost my argument with you. And there's a false church and there's the real church. And if your goal is to be accepted and loved by the world, if you're afraid of be calling a hater or a conspiracy theorist or anti-Semitic or racist or xenophobic or transphobic or queerphobic or homophobic or intolerant or divisive, you have no claim to the name of Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. Because he was all of the above. He was all of the above. He was intolerant. He was divisive. He was a racialist. He preferred his own race. He preferred the race of the sons of Israel explicitly. He hated the Jews. He hated the Pharisees. Hated them. Said they're hypocrites, liars, sons of the devil, synagogue of Satan, and that they're destined to hell. The tree is being cut down to be cast into the fire, that the care of the vineyard was to be taken away from them and to be given to a different ethnos, a different ethnic group. If those things bother you, well, you're a Judeo-Christian. And as Judeo-Christianity takes over, along with the synagogue of Satan, you essentially damn the next generation to hell. Because who's going to preach the gospel? If your vision of the gospel is something that does not offend the world or does not offend the synagogue of Satan, you're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're preaching a different gospel. Remember when, I think it was the Pilgrims or the Puritans, the Pilgrims, they fled England. Remember when they fled England, late 1500s, early 1600s? They left England because they wanted to practice their religion in peace, and they go over to Amsterdam because it was very open and very tolerant, and all of a sudden their children were being seduced by the world, and they were losing their children. And they said to themselves, we're going to be extinguished, we're going to be genocided, we're going to be wiped out. Our children will not know Jesus Christ if we allow this heathen world to influence the next generation. And they packed up and they moved to the New World to establish a Christian civilization, a Christian nation, a Christian culture, explicitly Christian culture, so they could raise the succeeding generations in the fear of Jesus Christ, in loyalty to Jesus Christ. That's why they did it. That's why they came to the New World. It was a land set apart for them. And I think a lot of the evangelicals are perfectly content living in a quote-unquote secular. I'm going to give you a different word for that, an antichrist culture. And then they morph the religion, they morph faith in Jesus Christ, they morph faith in the Holy Scriptures into something that has no basis in the Holy Scriptures. And they go the way of the synagogue of Satan, who said, yeah, we know what Moses said, we know what the prophet said, we don't like it, we're going to override them with the traditions of men. As a result, their children end up in hell. As a result, our children end up in hell. As a result, we have no message for the world. We have no message for the world whatsoever. That ought to concern an evangelical who based their identity upon bringing the good news to the world. You want to call it cultural evangelism? I don't know. I don't know what the terms are. All I know is if you have a society based upon the Ten Commandments and of a worldview based in the Holy Scriptures, when you preach the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, it's going to resonate with people that already have an intellectual background bolstering the idea that there's a judgment day, that there's a creator, that there's a heaven, that there's a hell, that we're created in the image of God. And if you want a society that's decent and proper and law-abiding, you need to, Ten Commandments need to be normalized. Otherwise, murder becomes normalized. And I guarantee you, mark my words on this, these kind of revolutions which have already occurred in the United States do not end without massive bloodshed. They do not. Go look at the French Revolution. in a good white European country. Massive bloodshed. Massive. The guillotine. And you're sitting there waiting for a rapture? You're waiting for a rapture? What do you think is going to happen to your kids? They're either going to turn against Jesus Christ or they're going to get the whatever's coming. Go look at what happened to the white Christians in Russia as the Bolsheviks took over, led largely by the synagogue of Satan. I know you don't want to hear that, but it's a factual, it's a fact. Go figure out who did the Holodomor, the starvation of the whites in Turkey. It wasn't white Christians. Why do you think Satan sent his hordes in with the Muslim invasion of Europe in the early 700s, late 600s into Europe? Do you think it was just to be nice and go live there and be good little Spaniards, good little Europeans? No, they're going to either convert the whites, the Europeans, to Islam, which is to Satan, or wipe them out. What do you think is going on now? Why do you think there's a massive invasion of the sons and of the countries that belong to the sons and daughters of Christendom? It's genocide. It's the extinction of our race. And it's the extinction of the sons and daughters of Christendom. It's the extinction of our legacy as men and women of the Word of God, of the Holy Scriptures. That's what's going on. That's a fact. It's the genocide of the sons and daughters of Christendom. It's the elimination of the one people on the face of the earth that as a race, as a civilization, as a culture, made Jesus Christ king. Am I making this about race? Absolutely. Why shouldn't I? Jesus Christ didn't shy away from that. He said, I only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Moses made it about race. His first act on the scene was as a race murderer. He murdered the Egyptian. And he led his race out of Egypt to form a Christian nation. Make no mistake, the ancient Moses worshipped Jesus Christ. He worshipped Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ talked to him face to face as a man speaks with his friends. Father never did that. Father didn't do that with Moses. It was the Son. It was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was very clear. He says, no man has seen the Father. So who was Moses talking to? It was Jesus Christ. Before Abraham was born, I am, said Jesus Christ. You want hope for the world? You want to evangelize the world? Jesus Christ told the Jews, he told the Pharisees, he told the synagogue of Satan, he told the chief priests, he says, the care of the vineyard will be stripped from you and given to a different ethnic group. Now, if that ethnic group is genocided, wiped out, who's going to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world? Nobody is. Nobody will. They're the only people, the white race is the only people that explicitly made Jesus Christ their monarch and their king. And that's why we've been under assault for 2,000 years. This is simply the latest iteration of it. Took the Spaniards 700 years to drive the Muslim and the African out of Europe. The Mongolian invasions, man, they were met with fierce men that fought, that gave their lives to prevent the overrunning of Europe with the Islamic demon-worshipping hordes. And if your highest goal in life is to get along with the people that reject Jesus Christ and to get along with the people that hate the white race, you do no service to the gospel of Jesus Christ, none at all. And if you have more fear of the synagogue of Satan and more fear of the world than of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, you might want to think about that a little bit. This is the why there needs to be a resistance. This is why. Do you want the gospel to go to the world? There has to be a race and a people that bring that gospel to the world. It was supposed to be the ancient sons of Israel, not this modern identity thieves of the synagogue of Satan, the ancient nation of Israel, the sons of Jacob, literally. They were supposed to be the example to the rest of the world. So the rest of the world could go up to them and say, hey, what makes you so great? And they say, hey, it's Jesus Christ. It's the Ten Commandments. First commandment points to Jesus Christ. Points to Jesus Christ. No, that you need to make that foundational to your theology. Who's the God that led the Hebrews out of Egypt? It was Jesus Christ. Who is the rock from which they drank? It was Jesus Christ. Who's the great I am? It's Jesus Christ. Before Abraham was born, I am. It's Jesus Christ. Moses said, who is it that I should say should is bringing you up out of Egypt? He says, I am. And Jesus Christ declared that I am 2,000 years ago. It's Jesus Christ, explicitly Jesus Christ, not some, oh, God, we're all the sons of God. No, that's a lie. Jesus Christ didn't believe that. He didn't teach that. He says there's the sons of Satan, and there's the seed of the woman, those of us in Jesus Christ. Satan's goal is to genocide the sons and daughters of Christendom. And then who's going to preach the gospel? We have a duty to resist. We have an absolute duty to resist, the same as the prophets did, the same as Moses did, the same as Gideon did, and Joshua, and Jesus Christ, and Peter, and Paul, and John, and Stephen, and the men who were sawn in two in Hebrews chapter 11. We have an absolute obligation and duty to resist the Antichrist that is in this world today, that has already taken over our nations. We have an absolute duty to our God, and He will hold us accountable on the judgment day on whether or not we were willing to resist the Antichrist that rules now, that rules today, and how faithful we are to the words of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and identifying the enemy, specifically identifying who the enemy is, which Jesus Christ did for us. All we have to do is agree with Him. All we have to do is say what He said. It's right there explicitly, and not to whitewash it with the traditions of men, which is what the synagogue of Satan does. Fifth commandment is a perfect example of it. That's the one Jesus Christ went over with the Pharisees. Pharisees wanted to talk about washing of the hands. Jesus said, you bunch of... I'll stop there. He says, you overrule and you undermine the commandment of God for your traditions. He said, you're telling everybody to give the money to us instead of to your parents. Undermining the Word of God. That's the same thing that the church is willing to do today. Jesus Christ says very explicitly who the seed of the serpent are and who the synagogue of Satan are, and the church contradicts Jesus Christ by telling the world that they're God's chosen people. You've betrayed Jesus Christ. You've betrayed the Word of God. Jesus Christ told him very explicitly, I'm going to strip the care of the vineyard away from you. I will give it to a different ethnic group. Every scripture written since the resurrection of the dead was written in a European tongue. Paul went to Europe for a reason. James talks about the 12 lost tribes, the scattered abroad. Why do you think they went to Europe? Maybe that's where they went. Why do you think that the sons of Japheth were going to dwell in the tents of Shem? Because the gospel, the protection, the covering of God, the tent of God, went to the sons of Japheth, and we dwell within that. We dwell within Jesus Christ as the sons and daughters of Christendom. This is the why of resistance. This is the why. We must resist. We have to resist. We don't have a choice but to resist the Antichrist that rules in the world today under the synagogue of Satan. But most of the evangelical church has turned around and become a false prophet praising the whore and the beast, telling people that they're the people of the chosen people of God. And they're not. They're the chosen people of Satan. They're the synagogue of Satan. They're the sons and daughters of the devil. John 8:44. Yeah, I know. You don't want to be anti-Semitic. I got it. Didn't bother Jesus. Didn't bother Jesus to be anti-Semitic. Don't give me this garbage that Jesus Christ is a Jew. The only reason you say that is so people can't get on your case and call you anti-Semitic. That's the only reason you say that. You don't do it to honor Jesus Christ. You do not say those things to honor Jesus Christ. You say that so nobody gets on your case, so nobody has any reason to call you an anti-Semite. That's the only reason you say that stuff. You're a coward. Oh, Jesus is a Jew. Jesus, the father of Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He was conceived of by the Holy Spirit in a virgin woman. Bloodline only flows down through the male. In what sense is Jesus Christ a Jew given that circumstance? Even Jesus Christ said, hey, you know, why did David say, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make the enemies a footstool for your feet. How can it be his son if he calls him his Lord? Even Jesus Christ distanced himself from the idea that David was his father. David, yes, was the ancestor of Mary, but the father of Jesus Christ is God Almighty directly, no intermediary whatsoever. Are you willing to say that? Are you willing to go back and read the second half of the book of John and then go out and tell those people exactly what Jesus Christ said? Are you willing to go back and read Revelation 2:9 or Revelation 3:9 and say what Jesus Christ said? These people are frauds. They're identity frauds. And the evangelical church is serving as a false prophet to the world, telling the whole world that they're the chosen of God. Telling the world that essentially they don't even need Jesus Christ for salvation because they're God's chosen people. They're liars. They've joined with the whore of Babylon. I know, this is a little too theological. I'm trying to stick to the idea of why we need to resist. Why we need to resist. If the church holds the truth, how will the world be saved if we're eliminated? We've converted almost all the way to Judeo-Christianity, which is Antichrist Christianity. Oh, yeah, there are all these interfaith movements. Oh, we're all God's children, different paths to the same truth. That's Satan worship. It's satanic. It's the betrayal of Jesus Christ. You know how you're in good standing with Jesus Christ? You got the same enemies that he has. How about that for starters? If the people that hate Jesus Christ don't hate you, ask yourself why. If you eliminate the white race, which people are going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world? Hello, hello, knock, knock. If you eliminate the sons and daughters of Krishna to which the gospel went, who's going to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world? If you eliminate the Holy Scriptures, if you eliminate any Holy Scriptures that are offensive to the synagogue of Satan, how are you going to preach the gospel to the world? Are you going to sit there and be a false prophet to the synagogue of Satan, point to the world and say, hey, worship them, worship them, worship them, which is what the evangelical church does today? And the world said, well, if they don't need Jesus Christ, why do I? And if you're ashamed of Jesus Christ and his words, you really got nothing to say to the world. You really don't. This is why you need resistance. What do you think is going to happen to your church, evangelical, in 5 years or 10 years or 2 years? Don't you know to declare that what Jesus Christ said in Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, John 8:44 is already a hate crime? And they're going to shut you down, and they're going to put people in your church to spy on you? Don't you know the FBI has already sent people undercover to these good Catholics just because they do a Latin mass? What do you think is going to happen to your church? Are you going to sell out to the beast? Are you going to sell out to the whore? Are you going to sell out to the synagogue of Satan? Are you going to sell out to an Antichrist system? Or have you already? Why do you need to resist? It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's absolutely about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And if you do not resist, the Word of God will be extinguished in this world. It will be extinguished on this earth. And they will do just what the Jews did. They will morph it into a different religion, the Judeo-Christian religion. And they will sit there and say, oh yeah, we worship God, we worship God. We're all the children of God. You think there's an Antichrist coming, there's a one world religion coming? It's already here. It's already here. And the church sits on its thumbs, waiting for something in the future, which has already happened in the past. Refusing to resist because they believe it's God's purpose for that evil grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And they sit by giddy in their expectation, in their false expectation, telling the world that an Antichrist people is God's chosen people. And we become guilty. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.